KNOM Profiles.
We see lots of fox sparrows, Lapland longspurs, savannah sparrows, Arctic warblers, yellow warblers, some whimbrels, bristle-thighed curlews, western sandpipers, ravens, of course. My name is Molly McDermott. I'm a field technician here for the USGS project.
So if you get in your car and drive north up the Beam Road from the coast, about 5 miles later when you hit Osborne, look to your left. Tucked up on a hill, you'll be able to make out some tents poking out of the tundra.
There's 8 tents scattered around, one for each of the crew members. Then we have a little privy where the honey bucket is. It's a hunting blind, actually. And then we got a little shower, but I think only one person's used it so far. We usually go into town for that.
There's also an orange electric fence circling the camp. Bear protection. Molly and 7 other researchers are studying birds on the Seward Peninsula. How abundant they are, how prevalent they are. The study is with the United States Geological Survey, and it's in its 3rd year. Since late May, the crew has been waking up between 4 and 6 in the morning. They eat breakfast, load into trucks, and split up, setting out to different sites on the Seward Peninsula, 350 sites in all. When they get to their site, they stop, pull out their binoculars, and for 10 minutes, they write down every bird they see or hear. And they do this for 6 to 8 hours every day. They return to these spots multiple times throughout the summer.
How do you learn how to just identify birds by their calls or by their sounds, especially like tens and tens of birds?
I study a lot for a couple of months.
There's somewhere between 85 to 100 bird species on the peninsula at any one time, but the team usually encounters 50 to 60 species.
There's tons of recordings and pictures out there that you can use and just quiz yourself. There's even birding software that I got my hands on. But there's nothing that really solidifies it like seeing a bird out in the wild.
So is there any bird out here that it's hard to identify because either they look so similar to another bird or they sound so similar to another bird?
Yeah, there's a few like that. The bristle-thighed curlew looks almost identical to the whimbrel, but they sound very different. So it's hard to tell them apart by sight, but as soon as they make a sound, it's really clear which species you're looking at. As far as birds that sound alike, I think more often than not, they look similar rather than sound similar.
Counting and logging birds is just phase one of the project. The goal of the study is to see how bird distribution and abundance are changing as things like vegetation and permafrost and water systems are also changing on the peninsula. And the thought is that these changes are occurring as a result of climate change. This week, the researchers are entering phase two, going out to those same sites where they recorded birds and writing down the vegetation and invertebrates like insects on those sites, potential habitats, and food sources for the birds. The project builds off and in many ways replicates a study conducted 25 years ago on the peninsula to see what changes have occurred in the land and bird distribution during the past quarter century. What they see is that the land has gotten a lot more shrubby, and birds that like shrubs have become more abundant and widespread, while the birds that don't like shrubs have done the opposite. They've declined. The theory is that the climate has been warming, which has been thawing the permafrost, softening the soil, and allowing shrubs to move in with their deeper roots and take hold. The next step of the project is to predict what the future changes to land and bird distribution might be for the Seward Peninsula, and on a broader scale, North America.
So why do you care about this work that you're doing out here?
I've grown up in Alaska for last 26 years, and I've seen a lot of the changes just in my lifetime. So it's important to me to be involved in a project that's helping us understand what the potential impact is on us who live here in the state.
So why should other people care about this research?
It's important because we're all contributing to a problem that no one has ownership over. It's not something where we can use resources freely and not feel any consequences personally.
One last thing. When I approached Molly for this interview, she was sitting next to her bright yellow tent playing a mandolin, and I asked her if she had written any songs since being at bird camp. She was a little reluctant, but here's what happened.
This one is a song I wrote out here last summer called Sparrow Song.
For KNOM Profiles, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Profiles is a production of KNOM, News and Public Affairs.